Welcome to the podcast, everybody. It is Tuesday, March 17th. More free agents on the move, more trades being made, plenty to talk about here in
Adam,
fantasy football land. What?
It's St. Patrick's Day,
bro. Oh, it is, yeah. You're talking to somebody who has never celebrated. I've never celebrated St. Patrick's. I'm not wearing any green.
So. Well, that's not very festive of you.
Are you? You're not wearing green either.
I'm wearing green socks.
Oh, are you? No, you're not.
You can't tell. You can't see them.
Yeah, you're lying.
So you don't know.
Listen, Jamie last week said, Dave, you remember.
Oh, yeah.
He said there was no way Ryan Matthews was going to sign with the Eagles. So, of course, he was wrong. So we kicked him off the podcast, and we've replaced him with someone new. And I want to introduce everybody to Heath Cummings, our new senior fantasy writer. Heath, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much, and I will try to never be wrong.
Good, because you only have one chance. If you're wrong today...
If you're wrong again, Jamie's back, and you can go back to shoveling coal or whatever it is that you do when you're not watching sports.
It should be noted that Heath is wearing a green shirt.
Yes. Heath got the memo that it's St. Patrick's Day.
Where I come from, we wear green on St. Patrick's Day, but that does not seem to be the case in Florida.
Where do you come from?
I mean, here in the office, there's plenty of people wearing green today.
Below 50%.
It is below 50%. But I think that's because in Florida, everybody drinks every day.
Dave, this is the first time I've met Heath, and I'm getting a Midwestern vibe from his voice.
Nice, isn't it?
Heath.
Got a little bit of a Midwest dominance here.
Yeah, where are you from? Is it Midwest?
Kansas City.
Okay. Okay, good.
You ever been there, Adam?
No.
No?
No, I haven't. I've been to St. Louis.
Excellent chow.
I think I've been to the airport, maybe.
It's not memorable.
Right.
Okay.
But my first time ever being in Kansas City was on a layover, and I went outside, and I smelled the air, and it smelled like barbecue.
That's actually true. Anywhere you go in Kansas City, it smells like
barbecue. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's one of the best things about the city.
Dave, why haven't you moved there yet?
It's too cold.
Okay. Well, listen,
I've been there, though. I want to go to a game at Arrowhead before I die.
In all seriousness, Jamie is on vacation, but Heath is a new member of our team. So welcome to the family. It's great to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to hear about your free agency winners and losers from not only the last week or so, or like 5 days since we've last podcasted, but also, you know, the Jimmy Graham, Andre Johnson, that whole first wave of free agents. So the floor is yours, Heath Cummings.
I guess it's fitting that my first podcast is a football podcast because I came from Football Guys. I've been a fantasy football writer for the last 5 years, and I'm a DFS degenerate. It does not matter what the sport is. I will play it.
Golf? Have you done daily golf?
I have done daily. I have done daily golf, yes.
What about hockey?
No.
What about?
No, I take that back. I played in some free hockey contests, so does that count?
Sure. European soccer?
No.
Cricket?
Any sports I will play.
Algerian tiddlywinks.
Well, the point is, Heath is going to help us out a lot with our daily content for baseball, for football, basketball as well, I assume?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, good, because I suck at that, so definitely gonna need some help. But obviously that's a growing part of this fantasy thing, and we'll be having a lot of daily coverage for you throughout this next year and beyond. So it's great to have you on, Heath, and I know you're going to enjoy being on the podcast. A lot of goofiness on the podcast, a lot of awesome emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put football podcast in the subject line. I'm going to ask you guys to rank three players before we dive into all the talk here. Rank these three guys: CJ Spiller, Carlos Hyde, Latavius Murray for 2015.
I would really... An hour ago, I would have said Latavius Murray. I was really getting on board with all the additions Oakland had made to the run blocking. And CJ Spiller's going to be fine. Carlos Hyde, I was a lot more excited about before Reggie Bush. But I think I have to go with Hyde now because it sounds like the Raiders are bringing in Trent Richardson, which is
they have
a match made in heaven or somewhere.
Crappy heaven.
Crappy heaven.
Crappy Raider heaven.
So you're going to go Hyde one... Murray
I'll go
two,
Hyde,
Spiller
Murray,
three?
Spiller.
Dave?
Yeah, Trent Richardson signing in Oakland does nothing to deter me from taking Latavius Murray. I mean, I don't know. I've watched Trent Richardson the last 2 years, and he's been pretty much a bum. And I know that I'm not the biggest supporter of Latavius Murray, but I would still not be afraid to take him as a potential 20-touch back with Oakland. But I like Hyde better, even with Reggie Bush there. I think he's going to have some good moments. I think he's going to get a lot of touchdowns. I'm cautiously optimistic that he'll be okay in his second season. So he's my number one guy, Murray number two. And I like Spiller. I especially like him in PPR leagues. I think he's your next Darren Sproles in New Orleans. Lots of catches out there for the taking for him.
Yeah, so Spiller's going to the Saints. How does this affect Mark Ingram, if at all?
I don't know that it really does. Mark Ingram wasn't going to get the touches that they're going to give to C.J. Spiller. If anything, it might help Ingram a little, in my opinion, because it's going to make the offense better, and it's going to give him more chances at touchdowns.
I will say this, though. If you remember last year, Adam, it felt like the Saints had two different types of game plans. One for when they were on fast surfaces, especially indoors, and another when they were outdoors on natural grass. And one of the first things I did when I checked out C.J. Spiller once he signed with the Saints was, what was his yards per carry? Indoors, outdoors, on grass, on turf. And long story short, when he was on artificial turf and or indoors, he averaged more than 5 yards per carry. The Saints play 12 games indoors this year. And I think you're going to see a lot of Spiller in those 12 games. Not to say that Ingram won't be involved, but I think Ingram will be more involved in the 4 games where they're outdoors, assuming he's healthy for those games. Ingram is still the best guy, but I don't like the idea of taking him in round two. To me, he's round two. Material.
Who
there
on
are
earth
people
is,
out there. I don't know how you feel, Heath, but I'm not ready to look at him and say, okay, he's a fantasy stud worth taking with a top 24 pick. I don't think he's there.
No. I think he's got to be maybe around that 3-4 turn.
That's where I'm looking.
Yeah.
And I think Spiller is maybe a full turn later, like
in
5-6 turn in PPR.
Oh, in PPR.
Yeah, and then maybe 6-7 in a standard league. But I think he's got some value in both leagues, and I'm not going to be afraid to pick him because of that.
So here's an interesting stat on Mark Ingram. He scored 9 rushing touchdowns last year. 7 of them were from 3 yards out or closer. Meanwhile, C.J. Spiller has 2 career rushing touchdowns from 5 yards or closer. So there's no doubt that Ingram makes more sense to get the touchdowns. But that stat, 7 of 9 touchdowns from 3 yards out or closer, I don't know, maybe it scares me a little bit just because you don't know what the Saints are going to do. They just didn't throw the ball a lot in those situations, which was quite surprising. You know, usually it was just, that's why Drew Brees didn't have that many touchdowns, at least at the beginning of the year. So I don't know if Ingram's good enough to be a great running back if he doesn't score a whole heck of a lot of touchdowns.
Well, now, if Jimmy Graham's gone and Kenny Stills is gone, who else are they going to go to inside of 5 yards?
I don't know that we have the answer right now.
I think that Ingram's going to get more chances.
Yeah, I don't know that we have the answer right now, but after the draft we might.
Right. I also, well, here's some things that we can definitely discern. Is they talked about this last week, Adam. They made moves to suggest that they want to be a running team.
Yeah.
Getting Max Unger for Jimmy Graham. Mm-hmm. Boost the interior of their offensive line. Trading away Ben Grubbs certainly doesn't sound that way because Ben Grubbs is a decent inside offensive lineman, but he was making too much money. They got a draft pick for him. They will find somebody else. I'm of the belief that, yeah, they're going to try and be more run-centric than they've been.
Okay.
Much to the despair of fantasy owners everywhere.
And they traded Kenny Stills, which we're going to talk about right now. And tweet of the day, number one. Got a lot of tweets, by the way. On today's show. And Heath, what's your Twitter handle?
It is at Heath Cummings Sr., SR.
Okay, at Heath Cummings Sr. Follow him on Twitter, at Dave Richard as well, and I'm at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. And you can follow Jamie at Jamie Eisenberg. He's J-A-M-E-Y. His Twitter has a first name. It's J-A-M-E-Y. Matt Massett on Twitter says, do you think Miami will use Kenny Stills same as New Orleans did? Send him on deep routes every play. And I thought this was such an interesting trade because the one thing that people know about Tannehill is that he can't throw deep. So it still is a good fit for the Dolphins.
If he's purely replacing Mike Wallace or in that role, then I don't know. I mean, he can definitely get it done deep. The Saints had some good moments with him last year, but he also did a good job catching passes short and mid-range,
yes,
too. So I think he might be a little bit better in that regard. He's certainly cheaper than Mike Wallace. When they first made the trade, Mike Wallace technically was still on the team, and it felt like they were just kind of changing Wallace's role, and they were going to just forget about the fact that he could go deep, and they were just going to keep him as being a short mid-range receiver, which is what he was that really boosted his fantasy production, certainly the touchdowns. I think 11 of 12 came from inside the red zone last year for him.
I think he had 10.
If the Dolphins are smart, they have to use Stills deep because Landry just isn't that guy. Jordan Cameron isn't that guy anymore. So I think he will be. I think he'll be just as frustrating to start as he was in New Orleans. He had two huge games last year, and everything else was 9 points or less.
And Heath, what's your take on Kenny Stills?
Really, the net result's probably going to be very similar to what we saw in New Orleans. I think it'll probably look a little different. I don't expect him to be as efficient as he was last year in New Orleans, but I would say he's going to get a little bit more volume. So, but again, I agree with Dave. He's going to be really, really frustrating.
Who are you guys going to draft first, Jarvis Landry or Kenny Stills?
Landry, especially in PPR.
Landry.
I'm not convinced.
In PPR, he's going to be good.
No, I get that. But I'm not convinced that Kenny Stills is just a deep threat. I think he was used that way in his rookie season. He averaged 20 yards per catch. That was 2013. Last year, it was 14.8 yards per catch. And in the last five games of the season, Jimmy Graham was playing hurt. I think his role changed a lot. You know, Brandon Cooks was obviously out. He averaged only 11.82 yards per catch. Now, he didn't play all that well, but I think we saw more of his versatility. He's not just a guy that just runs straight. And that's really what Mike Wallace was. Mike Wallace was more versatile last year, too. He wasn't just a deep threat, like as you alluded to, Dave.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I just want to throw that out there. All right, tweet of the day number two is from Todd Barhorst. Carlos Hyde will be overvalued. Do you agree with Todd, Heath?
I think that depends on how Carlos Hyde is valued. I think the Reggie Bush signing will help keep him from being overvalued. There was a little bit of risk there if they brought in a lesser name than Bush that some people were going to think Hyde was maybe like a, I don't know, he was getting into that early second, late first consideration if he was the only big name there in San Francisco because we know how much they love to run the ball. But I think Reggie Bush will temper expectations a little bit, and so he should be appropriately valued, I'd say, which in my opinion is probably right around the 2-3 turn.
Right, and I might go a little bit later than that. I might say he's a full third round, mid to late third round type of pick, but there's going to be that panic mode in fantasy drafts where people just get so freaked out from the lack of running backs, and they'll look at Carlos Hyde, and they'll say, oh, my God, give me some of that because it's a guy who should be able to work the goal line, be able to get or at least average around 15 carries per game. Having Reggie Bush there does take him out of the catch passes ballpark. I got to go back and look at my notes on Jeep Chris to see exactly what that might mean for Hyde and whether or not that could mean good things for Bush. But we also know that Reggie Bush can get banged up pretty easily at this point in his career.
Hyde or Jonathan Stewart?
I think I'd rather have Stu. Then I'd have to check my rankings just to be 100% sure.
Then I'll tell you that.
No, I got Hyde ahead of Stewart, but yeah. I don't know if I would stick with it.
Okay. How about you, Heath?
Definitely Hyde.
Hyde over Stewart? Oh, definitely.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Just because of the injuries with Jay Stu?
Yeah, I've been fooled by him so many times. I'm not falling for it again this year. What's the over-under on his games played this year? 9.5?
You want to put it at 9.5? Sure. I'll go into the Heath Casino and consider a wager on the over.
I would take the over on that. That's not a lot of games.
What?
Well, for Jonathan Stewart, knowing his track record, that it could very easily go under. That's an interesting question we could ask everybody.
All right, tweet of the day number three is from Abdul Hamani. He says, honestly, I would not draft DeMarco Murray until the late second or third round. Crazy, because if he is a Cowboy, I would take him in the top three.
I agree 100% with him. I really do. I'm scared to death to take DeMarco Murray in fantasy drafts. And I just wrote a blog, Adam, about what I think we will see from the Eagles this year. And I think that they will try and be run heavy. And I think the free agency moves sort of dictate that. But they've got a schedule that suggests that they're going to either be in a lot of competitive games or a lot of games where they're not going to be able to run the ball very much. There might be two games all year where they might have an easy matchup where they can just lean on the run game.
Come on, Dave. I don't think you can approach... It's It's March. We don't know what these teams are going to look like. It's so hard to predict defenses.
I'm not saying that he's taking on a lot of teams that are going to be great against the run, although you could look at Buffalo and Miami. You can look at Carolina, and you can make the assumption that they're not going to be pushovers. Now, I know last year you might have done that with Carolina, and for a good chunk of the season, they were pushovers against the run. But I could still see, for now, I'm a little bit worried about them. What I'm worried about, more importantly, is that last year there were games that were nip and tuck, high-scoring games, the games that Philadelphia were used to playing, and they would pass far more than they would run, whether they were up ahead by less than a touchdown in the fourth quarter or behind by that much in the fourth quarter.
Right, so they're going to run the ball more, so why is that bad for DeMarco Murray?
Because he's not going to get all of those carries. They're going to give probably around 8 per game to Ryan Matthews. They're going to give a few, not nearly 8, but probably more like 3 per game to Sproles. Chris Polk might snake 1 or 2. And I think I'm going into the season expecting DeMarco Murray to average 17 carries per game and maybe 1 or 2 catches. I think that's going to be his role. I think the Eagles are cognizant about how much work he had last year, and I would be surprised if they burned him out. Now, there will also be those games against Dallas where I'm sure Chip will throw him a bone, and he might get upwards of 25 carries in those games.
Okay,
and then
look.
They play New Orleans. They play Tampa Bay. I know I'm doing what you don't like me doing, no, Adam, and saying that those are easy schedules or easy matchups.
But you never know. We never thought the Redskins would be a great run defense, and we don't know how good the teams are going to be either. They could be really good. They could be horrible. It's just too much to say. But if you're going to tell me that DeMarco Murray...
It's forecasting, Adam. That's what we do.
It's just hard to forecast that. If you're going to tell me that DeMarco Murray is going to get 17 carries a game for the Eagles...
It's
then
top 5 back, probably.
I like it a lot. Exactly, Heath. I like it in the second round. I got no beef with that.
I mean, that's not enough because I also don't have him playing 16 games.
Well, getting only 17 carries a game helps him play more games, I think.
I also don't think he'll average as many yards per carry like he did in Dallas last year.
All right, Heath,
And I'm telling you, last year, how many passes did he catch for the Cowboys?
Who cares?
A ton. He's not going to get as many.
He's not going to be the number one running back in football. But
he's
could be top 8.
He's not even going to be a top 5 running back in football. I'd be surprised if he's a top 10.
You have him outside of your top 10.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
He's a second round pick for me.
Heath,
I'm scared to death.
Help me out here.
I mean, my take, I guess, is if you're not willing to take him until the end of the second round, then you should just not plan on having him on
your team.
Exactly. Because he's going to go in the first round. He's probably going to go in the top 10 picks. And I think there's an injury risk there. I do think there's something to the idea that he's not going to get quite as many carries. So there's a better chance that he plays 16 games, but you probably have to project him. If, like we did with Jonathan Stewart, he's probably at 13.5.
Right. So is that what the line is in the Heath Casino?
The Heath Casino has DeMarco Murray at 13.5.
What's the buffet like at the Heath Casino?
It's only barbecue.
Oh, I like this place. Yeah. This is good stuff, Adam.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about
that. But 13.5 that's a good line because I'm projecting him for 14 games. I guess I would take the over on that. But I wouldn't feel good about it. And I think the only way that he can get over 13.5 games is if they do keep an eye on how much work he gets. Ryan Matthews was not brought there to be a backup, Adam.
He will be a backup.
He will be a backup, and he's going to be an expensive handcuff for DeMarco Murray, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's just not a good situation. I'd be fine passing on all Philadelphia Eagles running backs. I fully recognize that they're a running team. And normally you want running backs on running teams. I get that. But I just think it's going to be very frustrating to go with these guys.
Heath, let's take a look at your winners and losers from the last 5 days or so, guys that we didn't talk about in our last podcast. CJ Spiller, Darren McFadden, and Jordan Cameron are winners for you. We talked about Spiller, but McFadden's on the Cowboys right now, so address him, and then you can talk about Jordan Cameron, who's on the Dolphins, as the Bills apparently are in hot pursuit of Charles Clay.
Well, and everything is relative, of course. So when I say Darren McFadden's a winner, that doesn't mean I'm moving him in my top 15 running backs even, but he's been put in the perfect situation. And McFadden last year, I unfortunately watched a lot of Raiders football, and he's a guy that... One of my assignments was recapping the Raiders, so I watched every snap of Raiders football, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, well, not really.
Yeah.
It's the Raiders.
Well, it's cool because I'm very interested to know how you feel about Latavius Murray, but we'll get to that in a second. Let's talk about DeMarco Murray.
Darren McFadden.
Oh, sorry, Darren McFadden.
That's all right. he needs to be properly motivated. He's in a situation where he's going to be properly motivated, and he's going to have huge holes. Now, there's it's really hard to bet on him staying healthy. But if he does, he has a chance to be the comeback player of the year in the NFL this year. It's a perfect situation, and he has motivation that he hasn't had. He's been playing for the Raiders. He's gone into each season. By week four, his season's basically over. He's got a chance to play on a team that's going to the playoffs. He's got a chance to play behind the best offensive line he's ever played behind. He could have a monster year and come out of nowhere if he stays healthy, which is a long shot.
He also has to stay in this role that you're projecting him in, which is basically starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys. And listen,
who do you
there's
think
an
it'll
elephant
be?
In the room, and his name's... I don't think the Vikings are in love with the idea of trading him, but they might. And Dallas, I think, would be interested. And if they can't get Adrian Peterson before the draft, then they might draft somebody. Mm-hmm. And they might even be gutsy enough to do it with their first pick, which means either Todd Gurley or Melvin Gordon's going to be going to Dallas. So I'm not fully buying into Darren McFadden in this feature role for the Dallas Cowboys yet. Now, if we get through the draft and Dallas doesn't have any other running backs, then I guess McFadden's it. And then I think you really have to live in a world where McFadden has to be an early to mid-round consideration for your fan. And I'm not talking like round, I'm talking like round five, maybe even earlier. And goodness, if he goes out and has a great training camp and a good preseason, then he's going to skyrocket. People are going to buy in because he'll be one of those rare running backs. But I need to see it all happen first. I did move him up. I've got him as a top 40 running back. I've got him 37th.
All right. So I know Dave's audio cut out there for a second, but when he said the elephant in the room, he was talking about Adrian Peterson. You probably picked that up from his Vikings talk, but just in case, Peterson. Jordan Cameron, a winner for you, Heath.
Yeah, I think Jordan Cameron is in a great situation. We've seen how this offense has fed Charles Clay, and Jordan Cameron's a lot better than Charles Clay, in my opinion. Cameron's been pretty good on an efficiency basis when he can be on the field with some pretty bad quarterback play. I'm not saying Ryan Tannehill's a great quarterback, but he's the best quarterback that Jordan Cameron's ever played with.
I like Tannehill quite a bit, actually. I think is he top 12 worthy, Dave?
He's in that mix. He's in that mix for sure. And I think Jordan Cameron helps him in that mix. And I don't think I've got Cameron ranked high enough. I think I've got to give him a little bit more credit. Jesus, I might not even have him ranked at all. Oh, there he is, 30th for me. So I got to put him up there a little bit higher now that he's with the Dolphins. And I'll get back to that. I think he's absolutely worth drafting. And he's probably going to be a low-end number one fantasy tight end for me to start the season. The one thing you've got to worry about with him is injuries, specifically concussions. Got a track record of it. Hopefully he stays healthy and contributes to the Dolphins, but he is going to be used as a mismatch chess piece in this up-tempo offense, and he should see some really good numbers as a result.
Cameron or Martellus Bennett?
I got Bennett ahead of him, if only for the September numbers that Bennett will give me before he goes missing in October, November, and December.
Heath?
Bennett, barely.
Cameron or Ebron?
Cameron.
Cameron.
Cameron or Jason Witten?
Cameron's more fun.
Yeah, Cameron.
That's going to be a more fun pick to make. The safer pick is going to be Witten.
Okay.
But no one's going to be excited to draft Jason Witten. There will be people excited to draft Jordan Cameron.
All right, next up we have Heath's losers from last week. Reggie Bush, who we've discussed. Percy Harvin truthers? I must admit I don't get that.
Well, there is still this contingency, especially in dynasty formats, it seems like, that really believes that Percy Harvin's talent will override his injury history, his attitude issues, and now his lack of quarterback play. And I think this is the point where even those people have to look at it and say, okay, the Seahawks had him and traded him to the Jets for very little. Now the Jets let him go, and he chooses to sign a one-year deal with the Bills to play with Matt Cassel. I don't know what hope is left for Percy Harvin owners. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. I can't stand the guy. on a fantasy level. Personal level, I'm sure that he and I would have a good time, like going out for like dinner and a play. We'd probably have a good time. Yeah, you know.
Was the last time you went to a play?
And I will watch, Wicked.
When was the last time you went to a play, Dave Richard?
Oh God, probably 2 weeks ago because I'm really into the theater, as you know.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I don't want Percy Harvin anywhere near my fantasy team. I will say that I like the concept. Think about all the speed that's on the field for Buffalo now. You got LeSean McCoy at running back, Sammy Watkins on the outside, Percy Harvin all over the place. They've got some, they're going to have a shot at upsetting some teams this year if those guys stay healthy. The one thing that I don't think Heath brought up is who's throwing the football.
He did.
Did?
He said Matt Cassel.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with him for the most part and say that that's another strike against Percy Harvin.
Give me a round for Percy Harvin, 12-team standard scoring league.
How many rounds are we going?
15.
16?
He won't be on my team.
Yeah, I'm just not going to draft him. Someone will take him with a late pick, round 12 or higher, 12, 13.
Here are some overall winners throughout this free agency / trade process for Heath Cummings. Latavius Murray, Sam Bradford, Andre Johnson, and Russell Wilson. Latavius Murray, Sam Bradford, Andre Johnson, and Russell Wilson. So since you have watched more Raiders games than Tony Sperano, tell me about Latavius Murray and what you expect from him.
I think I was paying better attention than Sperano was at times as well. Murray, in my opinion, from week one last year, was the best running back on that team, which isn't saying a lot. I'm saying he was better than Maurice Jones-Drew and Darren McFadden. But he's a powerful guy. He's a really good one-cut runner, and they're putting a bunch of good blockers around him. Now, I'll say when I sent these winners to you, it was before I saw the heartbreaking Trent Richardson news. And I know Dave's point that Trent Richardson's so bad he shouldn't be cutting into anybody's workload. But this is the same team that spent 8 weeks trying to give the ball to Darren McFadden and Maurice Jones-Drew. So I don't have a lot of faith that they're going to make the right decision. But if Murray gets even 17 to 18 touches a game, I think he's going to be a running back one without question.
Wow. So where are you drafting him?
I think you can wait on him a little bit because most people aren't as high as I am. But I'd be glad to take him in the fourth round.
Okay. Yeah, I'd probably be right around there maybe a little bit later. Just a smidge.
Early fourth.
But I'm not as big of a fan of Latavius as you are. But I will say this. Don't count it against him that he didn't get into the ball games until late last season because this is a totally different coaching staff now, totally different offensive coordinator, and I think they'll recognize Murray differently than how the previous regime did.
But this current regime just went out and intentionally added Trent Richardson to their team.
Yeah. That wasn't an accident.
Unless
we're going to get Tony Richardson, and then it's Trent, and they made a mistake. Not only did they get him, they're giving him like $2 million in the first year.
Well, they have much money, they have to spend it. They've
got to burn this cap space, so they might as well give Trent, a nice little golden parachute for his career.
Can they legally, under the cap, give that money to the cheerleaders that were suing them for not paying them enough?
Back in the day, yes, that would be totally acceptable. But now there's so many rules and regulations in the No Fun League that
you have to pay the cheerleaders separately.
No.
Not at all.
And they could always figure out ways to give extensions to players to get under the cap. So I don't understand why they gave Trent Richardson that money other than, well, we got to spend it. And, well, I guess we need some depth at running back. So, sure. Come on aboard, Trent, and you can watch Latavius Murray and Roy Helu play.
Here's just one thing, Heath, that concerns me about Latavius Murray. After I saw him destroy the Chiefs for those two touchdowns, four carries, 112 yards, two touchdowns, he looked like a beast. But then last four games, they turned him loose a little bit, and he only averaged 3.79 yards per carry. He had over 20 carries in two of those games and didn't reach 90 yards in either of them. That was against the Niners and the Bills. So I was just wondering your take on that. He didn't really finish very strong.
There wasn't a lot of finishing strong around that organization at the end of last year, and that offensive line was really bad towards the end of last year. I think they were actually not as bad as people thought they were earlier in the year.
Right. Gabe Jackson was really doing some good things, for example.
But things went downhill. There was a little bit of spark when Sperano first took over, but only as much spark as Sperano can incite. And that didn't last long, and I think there was a lot of playing out the string down the stretch.
All right,
and
then,
that shouldn't have impacted Latavius, though, because shouldn't Latavius be motivated to get out there and show what he can do? Now, not to say that we're saying it's not all on him for why his numbers weren't necessarily great, but he should have wanted to play well and put some good film out there so that he could keep this starting job.
I don't think there was a drop in his effort. I was saying there may have been a drop in his opportunity once the ball was handed to him.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Sam Bradford is also a winner for you. Given what Dave just said about the Eagles running the ball 90 times a game, are you guys still feeling good about Bradford?
Well, again, kind of like what I said with McFadden, it's relative.
Yeah.
I feel better about Bradford than I did before this trade. I think Sam Bradford is a better quarterback than Nick Foles. Yeah, I think the offense in Philadelphia, assuming that Chip meant what he said when he said that if I don't have a running quarterback, he's not going to run. I think the offense probably puts Bradford in a better place to stay healthy because he's going to be getting rid of the ball really quick. He shouldn't be hit that often. So if he can stay healthy, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Foles was 2 years ago because that was pretty fluky, but he has a chance to have possibly the best year of his career.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Would you have drafted Sam Bradford if he was starting for the Rams this year? Would you have even considered him for a late round pick?
In a regular 12-team league, probably not.
Okay. What about now that he's in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Would you consider him for a late round pick?
Yeah.
Fantasy winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, losers. Jeremy Maclin, Brandon Marshall, DeMarco Murray, Julius Thomas, and Jimmy Graham. Maclin, Marshall, Murray, Thomas, and Graham. Yeah, I mean, I think we pretty much agreed with those, right, Dave?
Yeah, I still think there's good value in Graham. I still think he's the second best tight end in fantasy. I'm just not taking him where I would have taken him if he was still in New Orleans. I'm worried about him getting 1,000 yards. I still think he can get 10 touchdowns.
Heath, what do you think Brandon Marshall has left?
A very, very little.
Really?
I like Brandon Marshall as a player. I don't like that situation in New York. I'm afraid that Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to have to wait like a quarter of the season before he gets to start. And
you want him to start?
I think he's better than Geno Smith.
I think you're, you know, picking between two bad choices.
Yes, I agree.
Honest.
Mariota?
They're both bad choices.
Mariota?
No, I don't think they'll pick Mariota.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
I think that.
Yeah, go ahead, Heath. Sorry.
I just think that list was like, if you look at the best players that changed situations in free agency, almost across the board, all of their situations got worse. There's hardly anybody that's towards the top of the list that their fantasy situation got better, which I don't
right.
know. If
Think about the biggest names in fantasy that changed teams.
It's a good point.
How many of them actually are in a better spot than they were before?
I can't think of one.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Huh.
I mean, is it Andre Johnson? Is that as good as it gets?
But he's not one of the biggest names. Frank Gore maybe is in a better situation.
Yeah.
Would you guys rather have Brandon Marshall or Andre Johnson?
Andre Johnson.
Who do I have ranked higher? Adam, you should know this stuff.
Right now.
I'm right next to each other, back-to-back, Marshall ahead of Johnson.
All right.
I guess the one thing I'm worried about with Andre is that he's not going to have the same type of opportunities overall that he had in Houston. I think the red zone is really going to be where he perks up.
Hey, real quick, Steve Johnson's on the Chargers and Cecil Shorts is on the Texans. Do either of these transactions matter in fantasy?
Nope.
Not to me. I would say no, but I would have told you at the beginning of last year that Eddie Royal didn't matter either. And he kind of did. So,
yeah, but he was a hard guy to start week in and week out.
Oh, I never could have done it.
Right. It would have been tough to recommend Eddie Royal. There were a couple of weeks toward the end of the season when San Diego's run game was so bad that we took chances on Royal just because he was an extension of the run game for them. But, yeah, I'm not interested. I think I could pick them both up off the waiver wire during the year.
Okay, now I'm done with this free agency stuff for now. I've got some important questions for Heath. Are you ready?
I'm ready, yes.
Favorite food?
Barbecue.
Hello, Heath Casino.
All right, but what do you
Heath
get?
Casino what buffet has
what do you get at the barbecue? Like pulled pork?
Oh,
what is it?
Burnt ends.
Beautiful.
What are those?
Adam.
Adam. I saw the look on your face, Dave, via Skype. That was such disappointment.
Yeah.
Burnt
ends? I mean, you're not a foodie, I guess.
What the hell are burnt ends?
Go ahead. I'm leaving that to the barbecue expert.
They're like the tips. They're burnt. the ends.
Of what? Of like meat?
No, dude. Of milk.
What kind of meat? Pork, beef?
They have pork and beef.
Yeah. All right, fine. Burnt ends. Favorite movie?
Oh.
This is where you're supposed to say Star Wars.
No. Yeah,
Adam has never seen Star Wars.
Yes, I have.
It is absolutely not Wars.
Good.
Jeez. I don't really watch that many movies. Okay. I guess I'll go with Scarface.
Interesting. Okay.
I would not have pegged you for a Scarface guy.
Favorite Broadway musical?
Oh. Sound of Music.
Okay, never seen it. Heard it's very good. Favorite NFL team?
Chiefs.
Okay. And who do you like more, me or Dave?
Definitely would have to say you.
Oh, okay, good. Good. Even though I don't know what burnt ends are. Dave,
well, you'll learn.
Any
now
questions?
I got a place to go, and now I know what you two are going to eat when you two get together for dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll go to McBurnt Ends. And get some burnt ends, and you'll be good about it.
Dave, do you have any questions that you want to pepper Heath with?
Where did you go to school, Heath? Do you have any college affiliations?
I have many college affiliations.
Okay.
I actually started off my I'll keep this short. My first semester was at the University of Missouri Journalism School.
Okay.
And I went to major in journalism and then majored in gambling and debauchery.
Oh, nice.
And it only takes 6 months to get a degree in gambling and debauchery, so then I left.
All right.
Congratulations.
And then I moved on to several other different locations, finishing my degree at Capella University.
Very nice. Very nice. What's the best bet or the biggest bet you ever won? Excluding fantasy leagues. Let's not consider that gambling.
Well, of course, one of the times that I was in Vegas was those would be the only times that I would gamble on sports because that's the only place that it's legal.
It's legal.
But I did hit a six-team baseball parlay.
What was the payout, if you don't mind?
It was a little over $2,000.
Yeah. How much did you put down? Like $20?
Like $30.
That's awesome. I wish everybody had a story like that.
You should never, ever, ever, ever bet six-team baseball parlays, by the way.
Never?
That's a bad way to make money.
I don't know. It sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, it's
a
lot sounded like
Adam,
for you.
Check flights. Let's go to Vegas for the start of the baseball season.
Now we're going to read some tweets and some emails and some reaction from free agency on Twitter from Brian. I'm higher on Stevie Johnson as a low WR3 or a flex. Rivers will get him the ball steadily.
All right, good for you.
Yeah, I don't think we share that.
You know, I think there's a bounce back coming for Keenan Allen this year. I did a study on how rookie receivers did in their second year. And one of the things I broke down was how big stat receivers as rookies, how they did in their second years. And most of them trended down, and Keenan Allen was one of them. But a lot of the receivers that had big rookie years and then they trended down their second year came up bigger numbers the third year.
And interesting.
I think Keenan Allen's going to be one of those guys.
All right, next up, Tyler Wilhite. Who gets drafted higher, Julius Thomas or Travis Kelce?
Who does get drafted higher or who should get drafted higher?
You can answer both.
I would say Julius Thomas will probably still be just barely drafted higher. I would much rather have Kelce.
Everybody is excited about Travis Kelce taking a huge jump in production this year. I still know who his quarterback is, and I know how that offense is, and I'm not quite there yet with him.
He has a better quarterback. He has a better quarterback than Julius Thomas.
I'm not convinced of that. Not yet. Better offensive line? Sure. That's good for the quarterback, and that's good for the passing game. Julius Thomas is pure receiver, by the way. Kelce will do some blocking on some dropbacks for Alex Smith.
I don't like Alex Smith at all. I said that Macklin was one of the biggest losers.
Yeah.
But I do think he's a pretty good quarterback for Travis Kelce. He can throw short passes accurately.
That's pretty much what he does.
And Kelce can take short passes, break a tackle, and go the distance.
How many times did he do it last year? I'm not saying he didn't do it.
Well, not often enough.
Well, bottom line,
once in the preseason.
67, 862, and 5 last year. I think you've got to figure that's going to be right around what Julius Thomas gets this year. So if you think Kelce improves on what were essentially his rookie year numbers.
And he didn't really play extensively in the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
They were still playing Fasano.
You're making a good case for Kelce ahead of Julius Thomas. I think both guys are in that 805 type range, but I will concede that if there's a guy who's got a shot at 7 touchdowns instead of 5, it is Kelce, not Julius Thomas.
Matt Massett, what kind of work do you expect from Shane Vereen in New York with the Giants? Could he be a number 2 fantasy running back like Jennings last year?
He could be, but I'd like to see Jennings off the roster first. And I'm kind of surprised he's still on the roster. I guess he's going to be good depth for them.
Yeah, but, I don't see Vereen getting enough carries to be a number 2
not
standard.
If there's 3 guys there. Not
PPR,
if there's
3, sure, but
yeah. If Jennings breaks down or Jennings is cut, then I think everything changes. But otherwise, I think he's going to be used just like he was in New England, which means you're looking at about 150 touches over the course of the year.
Adam Paulson says, DeMarco is way down with that crowd. what happened?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I don't really have
a lot. Mumble it, because that's kind of how Jamie is.
I don't really have a lot of good things to say about Vereen, except there's going to be a lot of room underneath in that offense. Odell Beckham's going to stretch things out. And I don't think Larry Donnell's really a huge threat for targets in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. So he could be in a PPR league, he could be
50 catches.
I think that's very possible.
I think 50 catches is possible. Maybe even more.
Next.
But
next.
I think he's better for Eli than he is for himself.
Next, Adam Paulson. DeMarco is way down. Jimmy Graham is down too, but Russell Wilson is now top 3. Agree or disagree?
I'll disagree. Top 6. And I feel better about him now than I would have without Jimmy Graham. And that's even with the assumption that they add another receiver.
Okay. Bip Hernandez, is it realistic to consider Owen Daniels the 5th tight end off the board come draft day, Heath?
No. I don't think so at all. He might be a low-end tight end one, but the thing about low-end tight end ones is there's like 12 of them. So
yeah.
If you don't get Gronk or you don't get Graham 3 or 4 rounds later, and I'll just wait.
Yeah, and Daniels is going to be part of that waiting game. And I think a lot of it will have to do with who they play in week one. And if Denver's got a matchup where their linebackers and safeties aren't that good, door's open for Daniels to have a good start to the season, and that's all you care about.
And next up, our boy, Arbar Todd.
Todd!
The Niners are just an awful organization. Oh, well, happy St. Paddy's Day.
I hope business is good this St. Patrick's Day, Todd.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. Time for some emails from Caleb in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Dear Frank, Carl, and Fiona, I actually know this one.
So these are what?
These are TV characters in this
they're
particular
cartoon
one.
Characters?
No, just TV characters.
TV characters.
Frank, Carl, and Fiona.
Yeah, you're not going
to the Fiona part is supposed to give it away for sure. I'm not sure.
It's
what's it called? Where one's a meatball.
No.
And Carl is the old guy.
No, that's Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force, is that right?
No, it's Shameless. Shameless.
Aqua.
You're talking about Meatwad. Meatwad, Shake, and Frylock, and Carl. Okay, I need help settling a dispute within my league. 10-team standard league that allows 2 keepers per year at a 1-round draft penalty. The dispute is over drafted players who were dropped and picked up from free agency. Should these players be kept in the 13th round or at their drafted value?
In my keeper league, it's kept at their drafted value and not at their 13th round status. However, I do play in a baseball league where if you draft a player in round 3 and you cut them for whatever reason and somebody else picks them up, they can keep them for that late round value.
No talking about other sports on the podcast, Dave.
I'm making a fantasy point, Adam.
Oh,
I'm not
okay.
Talking. I'm not giving baseball analysis or talking about why the Knicks suck. Come on.
Well, you don't have to talk about why the Knicks suck. It's just everybody knows they do suck. All right, next email, I'll give it to Heath.
Everybody does.
Taylor from Maryland is the commissioner of a 10-team league. It's half-point PPR, 3 IDP, otherwise standard. So not standard at all. The owners have expressed interest in becoming a dynasty league, and I was wondering the best method to do so. Should we start slowly this coming season with a few keepers and go on from there? Thank you.
I think that's really the only way to do it, especially if you use last year to determine this year's draft order. you don't want to give somebody too much of an advantage. What I would do is maybe start it as a keeper this year and don't let anybody keep anybody kept in the first two rounds.
Okay.
And then,
well, wait a minute. Was this a keeper league to begin with? It just says it's a 10-team league with some IDPs. What if you just say, all right, this year, this is it. We're starting a dynasty league, and here's the draft order, and you do a random draft order, and you're just beginning right now with this draft, moving forward, dynasty league. What's wrong with that? Tell me, Adam, what's wrong with that?
No, okay, yeah. That works. That's good. Knicks suck. All right, Mike from Rhode Island. Mike from Rhode Island, this is kind of cool, also creepy. He says, Dear Eli, Everett, and Ryan.
Everett. Eli and Ryan are Giants quarterbacks.
No. Dave, this one really should be close to home for you.
Oh, it's our sons?
Yeah.
That's Everett? Is your son named Everett?
Dave! I won't tell Scott White that you don't know his son's name.
His Scott White's son's name is Everett.
Eli is Jamie's son, and Ryan is Dave's. I'm considering – that's a dedicated listener right there. Jeez.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm considering trading my brother keeper rights for Odell Beckham in the seventh round.
I think he's talking about trading his brother. I'm going to trade my brother for a fantasy player.
So I'll get my brother Beckham for the seventh round value in exchange for Le'Veon Bell for a third round value. We can keep up to two players at the value they were drafted at forever. There are stipulations. If Bell is suspended more than two games or if either gets injured, we can revoke it. It's PPR. I beat him in the championship last year. I do not want to get the wrong end of the deal. Please advise. Would you rather have Beckham in the seventh or Bell in the third?
I would rather have Beckham in the seventh. I think those two are really pretty close, and a third versus a seventh is a big deal.
I agree. A third versus seventh is a big deal, but I think Bell is a little bit more of a sure thing. And I'm telling you, the running back position is going to get harder and harder to figure out. If Bell keeps playing like he's been playing, he might be one of the last great 20-touch running backs that we'll know in fantasy. And I mean, I think I'm painting a pretty grave picture here, and I probably shouldn't be this bad. But I don't think you give up on the stud running backs so easily, which isn't to say that, you know, Odell is, you know, garbage, because he's not. I love him. I think he's got all sorts of potential. But I just think I'd rather have Le'Veon, especially at a pick that isn't so valuable every year. It's valuable. A third-round pick is huge, but it's not a first. It's not a second.
We should have more time for emails in our upcoming shows. There will be less news to talk about and less people to introduce to the audience. So, Heath, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Burnt ends.
Well put.
And we have to go because Dave has to catch Mamma Mia at the Broward Center. but we'll be back next week. So thank you guys, and see you later.